In your prayer time, do you practice to plead the cause of another? Not hyperventilating with many words, but advocating their cause before the Lord. Proverbs 23:10-11. Do not move an ancient landmark or enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their cause against you. Another way to see someone who pleads a cause is seen in the word advocate. Not litigate, but advocate. The idea of an advocate as someone who pleads a cause in Hebrew is a combination of two words. The first is to grapple with, and the second is to contend for a cause. There is wrestling involved. The spirit of the word advocate is different than to litigate in the sense that to litigate means to argue within judicial process, implying one person is right and the other person is wrong. By no means am I saying we go before the Lord as the one who is right and God is wrong. Never. But what we are doing is more as an intercession, making needs known and talking to God about why we think our petition before Him is a good idea. Arguing with God is not what we do when we advocate. In 1 John 2:1, John uses the word advocate in the sense of someone who comforts in addition to pleading the cause of another. To intercede might be a bit more aggressive, but it is still a form of advocating. The Greek word in English for advocate is in the sense of a person called in to help, summoned to give assistance, which gives us the meaning of helper in court. Even though there is no clear reference to our advocating in court, the idea is still more or less in legal tones. It would seem that being an advocate for another is part of what Paul was writing about in Galatians 6:2, where it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." In Job 16:1-2, when the writer said, "I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are you all." The word comforters there in Hebrew is used in the sense of someone who would intercede and plead my cause before the Lord, which obviously the friends of Job were far more negative litigators sitting at a prosecutor's bench than positive advocates. I have noted of myself during my prayer time that I do not want to get stuck in rote repetitiveness.
Bless them, Lord. Help us, God. Father God, heal them, Lord.
Over and over for lack of words. I'm not saying those are not good things to pray, because they are. What I am saying is that I would like to be a better advocate, pleading the cause of others more effectively, using words which make a difference instead of just a whole lot of words that I spit out my mouth while I think of something else to say. When I first got saved and got out of the Navy, I went to a little rural Baptist church. And there I met for the first time in my life old-timey preachers. They used amen and glory to God like filler, similar to when my mother made meatloaf and she would add oatmeal or cornflakes or something like that and make it bigger than it was. And these guys would fill in the blanks between sentences with amen and glory to God and amen, hallelujah, and Father God, Father God, Father God. And it all just seemed like filler in between while they thought of something else to say. I don't want to do that. I want to plead the cause of others more effectively, using words which make a difference. When God told Abraham in Genesis 15:1 that he was his shield, the word shield is used in the sense of a protector, an advocate who contends for the cause of another. In Deuteronomy 33:29, the Lord is declared as the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph. He is the personification of a shield and sword for us, a shield as one who intercedes to help, and as a sword dividing truth from fiction, defining the victory. In the process of sinning, I believe our senses offer to reason with us about the delicate deliciousness of our desire, like a manipulative employee would influence the boss in order for them to get what they want. That is manipulating, not advocating. Jesus was and is an advocate for sinners before God, and I would like to be better at advocating for those who are locked in a dark prison of their own making, and even for those who are, by consent, in bed with curses they have agreed with, yet wonder why life is not better than it is. In 1 John 2:1-2, the Apostle writes, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is our defender and legal counsel, and is sufficient for any who would be in need of a helper and a shield." This isn't universalism, which says he died for everyone, repentant or not, nor is it just limited atonement, meaning he only died for an elite, select few. As our advocate, he is also our propitiation, meaning by his blood on Calvary, he satisfied God's righteous requirement for justice. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus is our propitiator, our defender from the dead at the right hand of the Father, where he intercedes for us before the heavenly throne. Jesus died for us so that we could live, and we got what we did not deserve because he got what he did not deserve. We deserved death and he gave us life. He did not deserve to die, but yet he took death upon himself and defeated death with death that we would live. Therefore, as our advocate, we are secure in that intercession, in that justification, in that satisfaction. If Jesus is your advocate, you also, yes, you have been empowered to advocate for those around you. If we know God hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. I think of being an advocate as one who petitions, who appeals to the highest authority on behalf of another with respect to a particular cause. We can make better use of our prayer time. God will give us words to make a difference if we're willing to extend ourselves consistently on behalf of others. I guarantee it. What do you think?